So we are in the last chapter, last verse of the second chapter. And this beautiful chapter is the summary of the entire Bhagavad Gita, what is to come in the next 16 verses. So we just finished a description of the man of wisdom, and Bhagavan Sri Krishna tells us, actually he starts with desire and ends with desire. Prajahati yada kaman sarvan parth manogatan atman yev atmana tushtah sthita prajnasya tadochyate. And then the last verse from 55 to 71, which describes this man of wisdom, is vihaya kaman yas sarvan pumansh charati nisprahah nirmamo nirhankarah tat shanti madhigachati. So he says that the most important thing in life that we have to give up is desires. So they say, well, with desire, how will we work in the world? What by desire, what he means is selfish desire for I and my, that has to be given up. Even if one single desire is there, one single vasana is there, just to summarize this chart, for those who are new, I have this body, mind and intellect. With the body, I perceive the objects. With the mind, I feel the emotions. And with the intellect, I think the thoughts. And vasanas are my desires, my tendencies. And Om is the consciousness, Brahman, the Lord within us, because of which we are able to function. So even in the single vasana or a very strong selfish desire or longing is there, that becomes an obstacle in my spiritual growth. So the purpose of human birth is to slowly go beyond selfish desire, start working for the benefit of others, do as much as I can to serve society, and ultimately become one with the Lord who is within and who is in all. And last week also we did the very beautiful verse about the man of wisdom, and Bhagavan describes this as apurya mana machala pratishtha samudra mapa pravishanti yatvat. He says, just as in an ocean rivers enter and keep flooding the ocean, but the ocean never overflows, maintains its balance, so also the man of wisdom, even though desires enter, because the Bhagavad Gita, he does not talk about a man of wisdom who is sitting in the Himalayas or in monasteries meditating. Gurudev says, Gita talks about the man of wisdom in downtown. So in downtown, how he in the world, how to function as a wise person, that is the message of the Bhagavad Gita. And we all want to know that. How should I deal with situations, how should I deal with daily life's problems that arise, family situations, and the Bhagavad Gita provides guidance for all. And so this beautiful portion is something that I would recommend everybody read again. Actually, the whole Gita one should be reading constantly as we study whatever verses we are doing. One should read them. Gurudev's commentary, all of you have. If you don't, please get it from the office. And every day, every week, when we do, we should revise the verses we do and also independently keep on reading, because it's most beautiful text. Every time I study it, it gives more and more understanding. So now the last verse, actually it's interesting. Every chapter, the last verse of the Bhagavad Gita is the most inspiring in every chapter. Bhagavan ends with like a conclusion, okay. Thus, so far, yes, therefore, like that. He concludes, at the same time, it's a very inspirational that he does not end on a sad note, oh, you know, life is a problem, but what is the positive outlook is very well covered. So let's do verse number 72. And then after that, I'll try to summarize the first and second chapter, which we have finished. And then if we have time, we'll begin the third chapter. So, verse number 72. Esha Brahmi Sthitif Partha.
Esha Brahmi Sthitif Partha.
Nainam Prapya Vimuhyati.
Nainam Prapya Vimuhyati.
स्थित्वा स्यामन्तकालेऽपि ब्रह्म निर्वाणं ऋच्छति. So thus in conclusion, Bhagavan says, O Arjuna, esha, O Partha, O Arjuna, esha brahmi sthiti. Esha, this, what I have told you all in this whole second chapter, is how to reach brahmi sthiti. So the first time the word Brahman has come in the Bhagavad Gita, of course, Lord will mention it repeatedly many times and will talk about what is Brahman. So brahmi sthiti means the state of Brahmanhood or becoming Brahman, becoming one with Brahman. Na enam, having enam prapya, having gained this, na vimuhyati, does not get deluded. So what they are saying is a man of wisdom, once he has attained this knowledge, does not fall back into his old state of ignorance. This knowledge is permanent and takes you to the highest. And sthitva, and having established asyam, having established himself or herself in this knowledge, antakalepi, even antakale, even at the time of death, if he gets this knowledge, or at any time throughout his life, brahma nirvanam richati. Brahma nirvana, brahman nirvanam means becomes one with Brahman, richati means reaches. So the summary is that this state of Brahmanhood is the highest goal, should be reached by all of us. And if possible in this life itself, let us not wait for a future birth, even by at the time of death. So anytime we get it, once you get it, you are never deluded. You can never go back to your old ideas and old state of ignorance. And you become one with that total consciousness, Brahman the Lord, who is everywhere, everything is that, and you become one with that. So let us talk a little bit about Brahman. So Brahman is a Sanskrit word which describes the total consciousness. And Brahman translates as big. Big does not mean a big house or a big object or a big star or a big planet. Big as in bigness. It is the biggest. There is nothing which is outside Brahman. Actually, this whole universe is in Brahman. Even the space extending for trillions of miles is in that Brahman. In fact, in the Purush Suktam, I have also talked before, he says, whatever you see in this universe and whatever you see in heaven, hell, all of those are only one quarter of that Brahman, that big that Brahman is. Because think about 14 worlds, Chaudhe Lok. You know, all the 14 worlds and all the space and everything constitutes only 1/4. Tripad urdhva udayat purushah pado eha. Only 1/4 has become this universe. That's how big Brahman is. But what is Brahman? Brahman is the all-pervading substratum. What they mean is that it is everything in this universe is Brahman. And whatever we see are names and forms superimposed upon. So whether it's table or chair or man or woman or clock or fan, plants, birds, animals, fish, everything is that Brahman with names and forms superimposed. But we don't recognize that. Just as mud is brown and is all over the universe, everywhere. But from the mud, I make different pots, you know, blue, green, yellow colored pots, put little gold, you know, paint on it and put little jewels on it and make it into a beautiful, you know, vase or a beautiful cup or a plate. You cannot even see that brown mud in there. And you see all the beautiful colors and different shapes and forms and vase and cup and plate and glass and saucer and all that. Everything you see, but inside is mud, but we are not able to see because it is covered by that paint. And all the decoration. So similarly, that Brahman, which is everywhere in everything, is covered by Maya. Maya is the deluding power which covers. So Brahman himself or itself, actually Brahman is a neuter because it's neither male nor female. We say, oh God, male. And some people worship the mother goddess, you know, Saraswati or Mother Durga, etc. But that Brahman, that consciousness, is neither male nor female. It is neither black nor white. It has no shape, form, color, cannot be described. But is the support of the universe, but to create a duality. See, to create this universe where there is Brahman and the world, Maya had to be used. If there was no power of Maya, this veiling power, I would see Brahman everywhere. But to create this universe of plurality and to make this play, which we asked for in our Pranami literature, they say that there it is a dual, you know, it is God and I are separate. So they talk about Atma and Paramatma. So this individual soul and that total consciousness were living happily together. And then the souls wanted to experience variety, because living in heaven, it's all the time joy, 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 joy. They got bored of joy. So they said, let us experience variety. So he said, okay, you want to experience variety? I'll create this world. There will be both joy and sorrow, good and bad. Everything will be there. But when you go there, you will forget me. That's the essence. And we said, no, no, no. God, how can we forget you? We are with you all the time. He said, okay. So that's why this world was created and Maya was created, to veil so that we think this world is real. That is the whole idea. And the goal of spirituality is to go beyond Maya, beyond this delusion, and to realize that Brahman is in me, is my high nature, and Brahman is everywhere. Everything is that Brahman. So that is the called all pervading. But how are we to study, and why is it that I don't see Brahman? So this, there are a three-step process. You know, just as in anywhere you go, they have three-step, five-step, 10-step. So this three-step is very beautiful. How a student grows from ignorance to knowledge. So he says that suppose the student does not know anything about religion, spirituality, Brahman, anything. So what does he do? He goes to a teacher. And then the teacher sits down and tells him, okay, come and learn. So you want to learn? You're interested? Yes. So the student has to first express his or her willingness to learn. Like Arjuna also in the first, you know, in the second chapter, he says in the beginning, Shishyasteham shadhi mam tvam prapanna. I prostrate to you, O Lord, and I am your disciple. Please teach me. So you go to the teacher, and the teacher tells you, well, there is this God, you know, who created this universe. And then we think God is somewhere outside. And the teacher knows, but I don't know. Or in this case, you know, Krishna knows, I don't know. Or Swami Chinmayananda knows, I don't know. So it is par aksha, means somebody else's eyes. So my guru has seen that. My guru knows that, but I don't know it. So that is called paroksha jnana. Para aksha means his eyes. So the teacher has seen and the teacher has experienced that, but I have not. So that is the first step. At least you have faith. Yes, there is an almighty God somewhere, all pervading, who has created this beautiful universe. And so we go to the temple or church, we bow down to that God. So that is called paroksha jnana. Then the teacher says, no, 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 no. He's not only out there beyond space. Yes, he is all beyond space, but he's in everything. Everything has come from him. If everything came from him, then everything is him. So I say, oh, pratyaksha jnana. Oh, I see it now. Okay, go. I see it. I see her as Brahman. I see the chair. I see that. So it's pratyaksha. I have seen it now. Oh, everything is God. But teacher says there is one more step further, and that is called aparoksha. Paroksha means with somebody else's eyes. Aparoksha means not with somebody else's eyes. When a is put, just as happy and unhappy. So paroksha, aparoksha. When it says not with somebody else's eyes, that means with my own eyes. So I experience Brahman as me, as everything and also me. Does not mean I become God, but I understand that that divinity is my real nature, and that is the final step. So that's why there is a beautiful text in the office called Aparoksha Anubhuti. So start with the teacher's knowledge, then I see everywhere, and then ultimately that is me. But then they say such a person never gets deluded, never forgets. How can that be? example they give is a child is walking, crawling around, and there's a fireplace, and somehow he gets his hand and burns himself. Now, having burnt himself in the fire and all black and red and it's hurting, and then mother takes him to the doctor, puts all the ointment. You think he will ever forget? Will he ever put his hand in fire again? Even 50 years, 60 years later, he'll remember, you know, when I was 2-3 years old, I by mistake put my hand in the fire. So this knowledge is such that once you have reached that state, you do not fall back to that state of ignorance. But if somebody, like, you know, there are examples of religious teachers who have fallen, but then they have not yet fully realized, they are advanced, but have not yet fully reached. Once you have woken up, it's like in a dream, I dream that I'm a beggar and I'm begging on the street, and then, you know, I have a wife and I have 6 children who are starving, and people are kicking me. And when I wake up, do I go looking for my, you know, wife and 6 children who were in the dream? You know, they must be suffering, poor things, and the world must be kicking them. I need to go save them. No, I know that this was a dream and I woke up. So similarly, a man of wisdom, once he wakes up to this higher reality, that's why the higher reality is called the fourth dimension or Turiya state. See, we see the world is only 3-dimensional world. Like, you know, 2-dimension is what we see in the picture, length and breadth. We not only see length and breadth, we also see depth. So we see 3 dimensions. Or the other way of calling 3 dimensions is waking, dream, and deep sleep. So I see only 3 worlds, the waking world, the dream world, and the deep sleep. But the man of wisdom has woken up to that 4th state, which we call as Turiya state, which is the state of Om or Brahman. And once such a person, then no matter how many problems the world gives them, we see in the lives of saints, they had so many problems, but they never get deluded. Na enam prapya vimohyati. And then he says he reaches the state of Nirvana. Nirvana, Brahma, Nirvanam here is translated as oneness with Brahman. But the word Nirvana itself, Vana means fire and Ni means no fire. So what they equate desire with fire. That's why in another place Bhagavan says, just as the fire, the more fuel you put in, it grows bigger and bigger. It doesn't never says enough, enough, enough. Fire doesn't say, oh, you have given me enough wood, I don't want. The more you put, the more it takes, the more it grows. So similarly, the more we satisfy our desires, more the fire of desire goes. So the idea is to give up these desires, not by forceful suppression, but by sublimation, by directing my desires upward, my energies upwards. So Nirvana is no fire. And this gives us what is the life's purpose. Why am I on earth? Why do I have this human body, mind, intellect? Why do I have the scriptures, all the saints and prophets? This is my life's purpose, to become one with God, to reach that state of Brahma Nirvanam, where God and I are one. It's very important to realize that Vedanta is not saying you are God. Vedanta is not saying that. Vedanta is saying that that one essence in you is the one essence everywhere. There is God up there who is a creator, sustainer, destroyer. You can call it Father in heaven. You can call it Brahma, Vishnu, Mahesh. You can call it Allah, who has created this universe. And I am a helpless being, or I am a small being. Not helpless. But the essential nature of me, Om, is the one everywhere. So that I have to understand. And if that is my life's purpose to reach, then why are we delaying? Why don't we start? So Swami Bodhatmanandaji, whose commentary I read quite a bit to prepare, says it very beautifully. He says, suppose you have 5 jobs to perform. Did I say that last week? No. I think I might have told in the Thursday class. Suppose you have 5 things you are supposed to do today. So you make a list, you know, on your phone. You put down things to do, you know, all those reminders and all that. So you put all that. So I have 5 projects to carry out today. So I start early in the morning, you know, 7 o'clock. Soon as I wake up, I do this, then do this, then do this, check off all the 5. So by 4 or 5 in the evening, I'm done with my 5 projects. So then evening, I can relax. Ah, good. I can put my feet up on the table and relax and enjoy my evening, you know, do whatever I feel like, you know, read or whatever I want to do. But suppose I start them late in the afternoon. I have 5 projects to do, but I start at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. Then what happens? I'm going through the evening and late into the night till 11, 12 o'clock. It's still not finished. Some of them I leave for the next day, or I don't do a very good job. I do a half-hearted job because I'm trying to hurry up and finish the project. So similarly, if the goal of realization is, the goal of man is realization, the earlier you start, the better. Because if you don't, then what will happen? Then you have to postpone it to the next life, just as this person couldn't finish. So she had to do her work the next morning. So similarly, so what they are saying, whenever you start is a good time to start. It does not mean, oh, I'm already old, I should not start. No, whenever you start is a good time, because the amount of progress we make depends on where I was in my previous life. If in my previous life I have studied the scriptures and I have already mastered, then in this life my progress will be relatively fast. But if I have not, even in this life, whatever I study, my knowledge will carry over and in my next life will be better. So the second chapter is a summary of the entire Bhagavad Gita. That's what this master say, that what is the goal of life is Sankhya, this knowledge. What is the means is Karma Yoga and study. And what is the Phala Prapti? What is the benefit of knowing this knowledge? You become a man of wisdom. So everything is given in the second chapter. The whole Bhagavad Gita is already studied. So they said, then why should I keep coming to this class? Why should I keep on reading? If I have studied, then it's okay. Then I don't need to. Yeah, for some people, they don't need to. They have studied second chapter. Ho gaya kaam khatam. They are done. They don't need to come. But for most of us, we need revision or repetition. Why? Because there are 4 types of students. 4 types of students who go to the teacher. The first type, the Uttama, is the one, best one, who once having heard, work is over. Because they are so evolved in their previous life, that once they sit at the feet of the teacher and learn, then they don't need to study anymore. And then they say, okay, I'm done, teacher. Namaste, pranam, I bow down and I leave. But still that person may continue to read the Bhagavad Gita or listen to the teacher. Why? He says, I have already understood. I am Atman. I want to see what are the next 16 chapters talking about me. That's why Raman Maharishi, one time he was reading the Upanishads and they said, sir, you are master. Maharaj, you are already a realized master. Why are you reading the Upanishad? He says, I want to see what they have written about me. See, because he had already understood that I am that. So for the best student, that's it. You know, he has done. Then there are others who have studied, but they have partial knowledge. You know, some of it they grasped, some of it they didn't. Majority of the people are like that. One time listening is not enough. That's why, you know, this knowledge has to be repeated. That's why all the Swamijis who come keep repeating this knowledge in different ways, different Upanishads, the Bhagavad Gita, different texts talk about, you know, the same text, the Quran maybe, or the Bible, or the Guru Granth Sahib, or the Bani, whatever, talk about the same thing, but in different ways. So the student gets a little bit of it and then needs to hear it again. Or if he has any doubts, then he goes to the teacher and clears the doubt. So that's the second type. The third type is the Ulta Wala, the who understands wrong. Whatever the teacher has said, he understands the opposite. and takes out opposite meaning. We'll talk about that in the Chandogya Upanishad. So he takes out the totally opposite meaning and misunderstands. You know, so teacher says, you know, how many times I have told you, you have still not understood. And the fourth is the best. You know, he's like Brahman. He's untouched. Untouched. Wo ek bhi cheez nahi. Doesn't even one thing doesn't go in his head. As he walked into the class, he walks out unaffected, untouched. So in our case, hopefully we are the first type, you know, who one time I've heard, or at least the second type, where we need to listen repeatedly. That's why the second chapter is the summary introduction, and the other 3 to 17 are further commentaries on the second chapter, and then the 18th is a summary. Again, Bhagwan at the end summarizes what he has told. And that's why for the four types of students, this knowledge is relevant. So in the Chandogya Upanishad, actually every Upanishad have stories. So there is a very beautiful story about Prajapati, the creator of the universe, wanted to teach this knowledge. So there were the demons and there were the devas, you know, the gods. Gods mean not the total consciousness, but the individual god, like Indra, the god of rain, Vayu, the god of wind, you know, the god of the ocean, the god of thunder, all those. So the gods and the demons used to always be fighting. That's in our Puranas, a lot of these stories come. And so both were competing with each other. So they found out that Prajapati was starting a course, you know, Vedanta course. So they said, oh, we'll go and study from him, from the creator. But he said only one representative can come. Prajapati says, I don't want a big crowd. I'll teach one. And then that person has to go back and teach. So from the gods, who came? Indra, the wise one. And then from the demons came Virochana. So they both sat down and sat at the feet of the teacher and learnt for a while. And the teacher says, Tattvamasi, you are that. Now he said that and they both left. I think maybe they might have stayed about 2-3 years. After some basic introduction, he says, you are that. So they both left. As they were leaving, Virochana said, I means this body. I am that Brahman. I am that. This body is the Atma, the highest. Wow, that's great. So he goes and tells the Asuras, you know what? This body is God, is Brahman, is Atma. So take care of this body. Enjoy, you know, enjoy whatever you want to do. Have a good time. Take care of this body. Nourish this body. Feed this body. Because this body is the highest. And Asuras are not some demons sitting somewhere. It's us. If we think I am this body, then I am an Asura. If I think I am this body and my whole purpose of my life is to acquire more and have more friends and have more this and that, more property, money and all, then I am an Asura. Because that is all, majority of the people, if you look at it, that's all they are doing. You know, all from day to night, very few people really seek this knowledge. Most people are just very happy living their life, taking care of their children and making them grow up and then die. And that's it. That's their. So such people are called Asuras. I know it's strong language, but that's what the Swamiji says. It's not my thinking. So if you don't like it, please go talk to him. He said, oh, he called us Asuras. But Indra was interesting. He was walking home to Devas. He said, body cannot be Atma, because Prajapati said that Atma is all pervading everywhere, and I am that. This body cannot be. So he goes back. So Prajapati, you're back? I thought you said you have understood. He said, yeah, Maharaj, I thought I had understood, but I have not. How can this body be that? Okay, you want to learn? He says, yeah. So he says, you have to stay here 32 years. You only stayed 3 years, 32 more years if you really want to answer. Okay, I'm ready. So again, this same knowledge is explained over 32 years. Then he's going home. Again, he said, Bibi, it's not yet very clear. Let me go back. So he goes back. He says, I'm still not very clear. He says, okay, you have to stay another 32 years. So 3 times, 32 times 3, 96 years, plus the original 3 years, 99 years, he stays with the teacher to learn this knowledge. And then and only then he feels competent to go out and, you know, tell the devas. So the point is that this first guy was like the third student who understood the opposite. When he said you, he did not understand the meaning of you, did not try to clarify. So that's why they say do not be like him who have misunderstood. Understand it clearly. If it's not clear, then go back to the teacher or go back to the book. So here ends the second chapter. So we'll chant the closing vakya, which is like this, which every chapter ends with that, and then we'll begin the third chapter. Om Tat Sat.
Om Tat Sat.
Iti Shri Mat Bhagavat Gitasu.
Iti Shri Mat Bhagavat Gitasu.
Upanishatsu.
Brahma
Vidyayam.
Yoga Shastre,
Shri Krishna Arjuna Samvade,
Sankhya Yogo Nama,
Dvitiyo Dhyayah. So, Om Tat Sat. These are all three are God's names. That Brahman, that total consciousness, is addressed as Om. Om is the substratum of this universe, which is supporting the waking dream and deep sleep. That's why A-Yuma. A is the waking, U is the dream, and Ma is the deep sleep. So all three states are expressed in Om, and also it is beyond that. Tat. Tat means that, that Brahman, who I think as that Brahman far away, is also this. So it's not only that, but it is also this. So that's why this knowledge brings us from that God to this God, God who is within. So that's why this understanding is very important. It's not only that, but it is this God within. And Sat, Sat means existence. It exists. It is the existence which is supporting this entire universe. Iti, thus, he says, thus the second chapter ends. And where does the second chapter appear? Srimad Bhagavad Gita Su. Bhagavad Gita is the name of this text, and Srimad means the, is respectfully, the honorable, the respected. Bhagavad Gita Su, Su means the seventh case, in the Srimad Bhagavad Gita. Upanishad Su, it is then Upanishad. Why? Because the entire summary of the all the Upanishads is in the Bhagavad Gita, and Bhagavan Krishna has made it simple for us. That's why even the Sanskrit of the Bhagavad Gita is much simpler than the Sanskrit of the Upanishads. If you read the Upanishads, they have long words, you know, multiple sandhis. This is relatively easier to understand. So Upanishadsu, and it's a Brahma Vidya. It is the highest knowledge of Brahman. Yoga Shastre, and it is a Shastra means it is the treatise, or it is the theory of yoga. What is yoga? Comes from yuj, to unite, that this unites me with the higher. So this knowledge not only tells me about Brahman, but in a practical way tells me how to apply this knowledge in the world and live as a divine being. So that's why it is called Yoga Shastra, and it is a Shri Krishna Arjuna Samvade. So Shri Krishna and Arjuna, the student and the teacher's dialogue. Samvada is dialogue. And what is the chapter called? Sankhya Yoga. Sankhya means systematic way. The second chapter follows a very systematic way of explanation. That's why it's called Sankhya Yogo Nama. Nama means it has the name of Sankhya Yoga. And Dvitiyo Dhyayaha, it is the second chapter. So here ends the second chapter of the Bhagavad Gita.